just go to the Lord in prayer. Amen. Heavenly Father, we come to you tonight, Lord. We ask, Father, for you at this time, Lord, to be with us as we read your word and study from it tonight, Lord. I pray, Father, you will just come and speak to us, Lord. We ask it that you would receive all glory from this service in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Amen. We want to read from Galatians chapter 3 tonight. O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that ye should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth, crucified among you? This only would I learn of you. Receive ye the Spirit by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? Are ye so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, and are now made perfect by the flesh? Have ye suffered so many things in vain, if it be yet in vain? He therefore that ministereth to you the Spirit and worketh miracles among you, doth he it by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? Even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted unto him for righteousness. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. And the Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. So then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is every one that continueth not in all things which were written in the book of the law to do them. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident, for the just shall live by faith. And the law is not of faith, but the man that doth them shall live in them. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is every one that hangeth on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Brethren, I speak after the manner of men, though it be but a man's covenant, yet it be confirmed, no man disannulleth or addeth thereto. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He saith not, and to the seeds, and as many, but as one, and to thy seed, which is Christ. And this I say, that the covenant that was confirmed before God in Christ, the law which was 430 years after, cannot disannul, but it should make the promise, that it should make the promise of none effect. For if the inheritance be of the law, it is no more a promise, but God gave it to Abraham by promise. Wherefore then serveth the law? It was added because of transgression, till the seed should come to whom the promise was made, and it was ordained by angels in the hand of the mediator. Now a mediator is not a mediator of one, but God is one. Is the law then against the promises of God? God forbid. For if it had not been a law given which could have given life, verily righteousness should not have been by the law. But the Scripture hath concluded all under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. But before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up unto the faith which should afterwards be revealed. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after that faith has come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster. For ye are all children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, Neither is there bond nor free, there's neither male nor female, for ye are all one in Christ Jesus. And if ye be Christ, then ye are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. You may be seated. First of all, I want to actually refer to something Brother Branham had said concerning Paul as a messenger to the Gentile church in the first church age. And Brother Branham said his manner of ministering set the pattern for all future messengers were to aspire to, and actually sets the pattern for every true minister of God. Even though he might not attain to the heights of the prophetic realm as did Paul, Paul's ministry set the pattern for all that would come after him. And that, taking that into account, then we can see why that Brother Branham would have made the statement, "I've preached what Paul preached." You know, Brother Branham wasn't just making that statement to the angel, but Brother Branham brought that, was actually bringing this and stating it to the bride that his message had been sent to, that, look, I'm preaching to you, I'm bringing to you, I preach what Paul preached. I am following this pattern that's laid down. As Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. But now looking here in Galatians, you know, we see that Paul, in the first three chapters, Paul keeps dealing with something of the Galatian church. And we find that what it was in when we read the second chapter last week was Paul said there's been false brethren that's crept in, meaning they come in and they present themselves as being believers just like you are, but he says they've come in to spy out your liberty and that they might bring you into bondage. Now, what do they want to bring them into bondage to? They wanted to bring them into bondage to some doctrine of whatever they were wanting to spread. And so Paul says, you know, in the second chapter, he says, we don't give any space to them. In other words, look, he says, we don't give any place by subjection, no, not for an hour, not even for a moment. We don't care to listen to what they got to say, in other words. And he says that the truth of the gospel might continue. But Paul was also covering this same thing in the first chapter when he, you know, had said that he said, I marvel that you're so soon removed from the grace of Christ, which you've been called to, unto another gospel. And he said, and there's some that have, which he says is it's not another, but he says that some that have crept in to trouble you, that they would pervert the gospel of Christ. In other words, they were taking the message of the hour, the message of the day, and they were twisting it to pervert it into something to project a message of their own. And then when Paul addressed this in the first chapter, he said, look, if any man preaches anything other than what I've delivered unto you, he says, then let him be a curse. You know, don't have anything to do with him. Excuse me. And Paul, you know, he was also asserting, look, I received this revelation straight from Jesus Christ. God spoke to me. God revealed this to me. You know, and Paul was able to take and show that Jehovah of the old was Jesus of the new. And Paul's bringing the gospel that you're justified by faith. But what had happened was he was dealing with that there had been false teachers that had came in amongst this Christian church, and they were teaching the Gentiles to require them to adopt to Jewish works of the law in order to be justified before God. So they were actually, what they were doing, they were bringing in leavening. And so Paul is saying here, look, Paul had brought the gospel already to the Galatians. All right, when the book of Galatians is being wrote, this isn't Paul beginning to bring the gospel to them. He had already been there. He had already brought the gospel of Jesus Christ to them. Here they were already established. And they had been brought to the truth that, look, it's the grace of God is what how you are made righteous. You know, so it's by faith in that of what Jesus Christ has done for you is what makes you righteous. And here, you know, the churches had already, they believed that. They were moving into a right along with the message of the day and that. But then these other teachers came in and they began to tell them, well, no, you need to keep these things of the law in order to be acceptable before God. And so Paul is actually, Brother Branham says, Paul is actually saying he was ashamed of them. He said, I'm ashamed of you. How soon you would be removed from the gospel that I've delivered unto you, that it's by faith. And he says, and now you're moving back to say that you can obtain to righteousness through your flesh, through the works of your flesh, by keeping these things of the law. And so Brother Branham then in the message of adoption, he was speaking to this, telling, you know, he says, look, they've came in to pervert the gospel that had been delivered to them. Then in the message, 1959, a message entitled Water Baptism, Brother Branham was actually quoting from this thing, this particular chapter there in Galatians, and that about them being so soon removed from the grace of Christ into another gospel. And then Brother Branham, then after he goes through that, then he goes right in and he says, look, he says, you know, he begins to tell the people that he says, you got to realize he's speaking to these denominational people at the time. And he begins to speak to them and says, look, you've been moved from the truth of the word that's been delivered. And he says, and you're baptizing in titles and all these things, you know. And he says, and he says, but I can't compromise on this. I've got to stand on what the word says. And he says, I've got to be faithful and true to what the Bible says about it. And he says, and Paul, he said, and he points at Paul and he says, now Paul's, he come down there and found some people that didn't have the Holy Ghost. And he says, how were you baptized? And they said, we were baptized under John's baptism. And he says, and here it says in the Bible that Paul commanded them to be rebaptized, so it would be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. And he says, now find any place where that messenger said they should be baptized in titles. He said, then therefore, why are you people, these churches, why are you baptizing that way? It's another gospel. And so Brother Branham, you know, there was many things that Brother Branham was actually, you know, pointing out that these denominational people, you know, were believing to be true. And Brother Branham's pointing out and saying, it's not the gospel that was delivered. It's not from the Bible. So, and Brother Branham is doing this, why? Because he's looking at a pattern. Paul set a pattern. And the pattern that Paul set here was Paul many times would call out these false teachings. He would actually say the false, you know, he would just spell out what the false teaching was.
and then totally discredit it and point to what the truth was. That's exactly the same thing Brother Branham would do. Brother Branham would point to these things that they believed to be truth that were not actually. They took a scripture here, they took a scripture there, but some men had actually made their own gospel out of it. And by taking a scripture here or there and just hanging on to a couple little things that said, instead of taking the whole scope of the Bible, you know, then when they do that, if you take the whole scope, then their doctrines can't stand up. Because if this, here's the thing, the scriptures sometimes they would latch on to try to get people to baptize in titles, believe that, or believe that speaking in tongues was the evidence of the Holy Ghost and all these things, to hang to those. And then when you then compare it through the rest of the scriptures there in the New Testament, you find out, well, if it's the way that they're interpreting it, then there's a controversy here. There's a there's a discrepancy if it's the way they're interpreting, because there's other scriptures that seem like they're saying the exact opposite of how they're interpreting these scriptures. So there's actually a revelation to it. But looking at that, then Brother Branham going and following this pattern and that, so then you realize that what are we supposed to do as ministers? What are we supposed to do? We're supposed to follow the pattern that was laid down. The way Brother Branham would say, I preach what Paul preached. Brother Branham would instruct us in the bride, say what I said. But then you got people that have over the time in different years and time, they rose up and they would take certain quotes from things Brother Branham said to put them together to fashion something that wasn't even the message that Brother Branham delivered. They would latch on to, and the thing is, some of those things we've saw them run aground. We've saw some of their doctrine, and, they blossomed out into a great big doctrinal camp and a following and all this, and everything. And then we've saw some of them just run aground and just dry up and blow away. But we've still got some that somehow seem like they still got legs to them. There's some that are still out there. They're still there. Look, there's ones like, for instance, what took place back in the 70s, a following of a doctrine called the Seven Thunders. But you don't hear nothing about that really much anymore. Used to be when you'd go over into other countries doing mission work and stuff, that was one of the things you'd run into, where these, for lack of a better way to call them, these Seven Thunder propagators were going over there and propagating their doctrine among the different churches overseas and different places and all that. That's not what you run into anymore. But I'll tell you, there's some of these doctrines that are still around. Maybe not as prevalent as they used to be, but like that return ministry doctrine, it's like that thing won't die completely. It's like you just can't get that killed. There's still people out there hanging on to that. But then what do we deal with in this day? What's the big push in this day? We don't need pastors. All you really need to do is just listen to the prophet. Just push play. Listen to the prophet. But not just listen to the prophet. Listen to the messages of the prophet that are being dictated out by somebody.
Friends, I'm going to tell you something. That's not the message that the prophet delivered to us.
Why would Brother Branham instruct the ministers of the day to say what I said if he really didn't want them saying anything? If Brother Branham didn't believe that the fivefold ministry should continue on and that God was still using it and still believed in preaching the gospel, then why would Brother Branham bring out and make statements like, you know, look, sending out tracts and books and building buildings and building schools and all this? He says, that's not what the scripture said do. He said, it said, preach the gospel. Let me just say this. It didn't say play the gospel. Listen, when the prophet was here, friends, he could preach this. He preached it with power and demonstration. But he came to deliver a message to reintroduce Christ to the people again, that the word would be open. And when it came time then for God to take him off the scene, because Brother Branham said, if that's what my ministry is coming to do, then when that takes place, he says, then as John the Baptist said, I must decrease so that he can increase. So Brother Branham's been took off the scene, but Jesus Christ didn't leave. The word didn't leave. Look, friends, look, outside of what the prophet brought us and preached, look, if I didn't have that, what in the world would I have to offer you? I wouldn't have anything to offer you outside of what the denominational churches do. You know, some kind of, you know, live moral speech. Well, when Brother Branham left the scene, friends, how many people actually really had the real revelation of the message? Really, what they had was God sent a prophet. Which it was necessary to receive that and believe that so that we could hear what he said. But then God has continued to use the fivefold ministry. And look, we're not going in there, friends. The real fivefold ministry of the day isn't going in there and trying to draw disciples after themselves. We're not trying to build a kingdom here for our human selves, great big churches and all that. No, the real ministry of God today, that's not what they're trying to do. When you see men that are doing that, then I'm going to tell you this. They're not the real ministry of God for the day. When they stand up and make statements like, you know, look, if you want to hear the truth, then you got to come here to this particular message church. The other message churches don't have it. And God has given me so much revelation that if Brother Branham was here, he'd have to sit and listen to me. The audacity of somebody to say something like that. Well, that'll let you know right then, that's not a real God-called minister. That's a false anointed one. That's a false teacher. That's a man that is trying to build his own kingdom, himself a kingdom here. The real God-called ministry of the day, friends, what it is it's actually here to pull out from the revealed message that Brother Branham brought and actually help us to get ready to go in this rapture. To bring us, friends, look, we're not just getting ready to go in the rapture. When we go in the rapture, we got to be complete. Because there's not going to be a space of time between the rapture and the millennium where you say, okay, now I got ready for the rapture. Now I got to go through a process and make sure I'm ready for the millennium. No, when you go in the rapture, you're already ready for that. the stature of a perfect man. You're complete.
And it's not men that are completing us. It's not a man that's completing us. It's the Word.
That's what we're being dressed with. That's what the bride is making herself ready with, is the Word.
But Brother Branham, listen, Brother Branham talks about, he says, the message, he says, is like a scarlet thread that he says is wove through the Bible. And that's the way it is wove through the messages of the ministry of Brother Branham. It's wove through there.
Now, it's great to sit down and listen to, and you need to listen to messages that Brother Branham preached. But it's so woven in there, friends, that the actual revelation of it, there may be dozens of messages that you got to pick through to pick this part out and that part out and this part out and that part out to bring it all together. Now, I'm not saying we leave any of it. We're bringing it all together. But it's so woven in there that it's actually, people can read through it and listen to stuff and it still be hidden to them. Because it was still hidden to many that sat right there in the meetings, the ones that even did the recordings. Think about this. When the seals were being preached, imagine the people that sat there and actually attended when the seals were being preached. Imagine as they walked out of each service, they're like, so that's what that seal was. Like when Brother Branham was bringing out, and Brother Branham takes, you know, because look at here it was 1963. So it was just, it had only been around 20 years, give or take, since the whole Holocaust had happened. Think on the night when Brother Branham opens up that seal and shows you, here's the Holocaust. It's actually spoke of, this is what happened, this under that seal. And the people seeing that, you know, and think how they went out, oh my. But then ask people that actually were there after Brother Branham preached the seventh seal. And they all walked out of there scratching their heads. It didn't get opened. That's what they were all thinking. And Brother Branham let them go on thinking that. He actually see where they needed to actually think that at that time. Because the whole thing was, the statement Brother Branham said, perhaps we've said too much. If the devil finds out what this is, he can do great damage. But then go and look at the messages that Brother Branham then preached from March of 63 after that up until the time he left. I'm going to tell you, friends, all of that was the unfolding of the seventh seal. Friends, look, the Lamb of God coming down on each night and opening up those seals through the mouth of the prophet, that was Christ, who is the seventh seal. Brother Branham said, it's the opening of the Word. And he said, the third pool, he said, it's the opening of the Word. And so then, but then you realize you still got people walking around here that say they still don't think the seventh seal was opened. I'm not saying that to say bad. You know, I pray that their eyes get open, they see the opening of the Word. There are people that claim to believe the message, friends, And they'll quote Revelation 10 and 7, Luke 17 and 30, and these different scriptures, Malachi 4 and 5. They'll quote all these scriptures in that. But how many of them actually understand what actually was Luke 17 and 30? Luke 17 and 30 was, as it was in the days of Lot, so shall it be when at the revealing of the Son of Man. And Brother Branham actually called that the appearing of the Son of Man. And people focus on, as it was in the days of Lot, as it was in the days of Lot. And they look at, well, okay, it was sodomite condition, this, you know, but look what Brother Branham says. Brother Branham gives you something that actually the verse doesn't actually say in words. It doesn't actually spell it out in words. But he says, okay, what was in the days of Lot? He said, okay, in the days of Lot, there was one that stayed back there with Abraham. And he said there was one, the two angels, messengers went down to Sodom to pull Lot out. He said, but there was one that stayed back there with Abraham, the elect believer. And he said, and he stood with his back to the door of the tent and told the thoughts of Sarah's heart. And Brother Branham kept pointing at that. And then finally in a service, Brother Branham had people in there, and he turns and he has his back to the people and he starts to call people out, tell them what's wrong with them and all these things, and he turns back around and he says, is this not the same one that stood there with the at the door of the tent with Abraham? What was he pointing at? He wasn't pointing at the sodomite condition of the world. What he was pointing at, this is the appearing of the Son of Man. Not that Brother Branham was the Son of Man. He was a Son of Man, but not the Son of Man. The Son of Man was Jesus Christ. There's been times when you try to, at times you try to share this with people in the message, and they'll say, wait a minute. There's only three comings of Christ. You're making four comings. There's not four comings. I said, no, it's not. It's the coming of the Word. It's the appearing of the Son of Man. If he, look friends, if the Word didn't come, then why was Brother Branham saying that he came to introduce him to the people? You don't introduce somebody that ain't there. We're not making another coming. And then you got the people that ran off and said, oh, okay, so they saw that, so they took it, twisted all that around, and made it that, okay, the third coming has already happened. You've seen all the coming of the Lord you're going to see. Those were the Perugia bunch. No, they ran off, and they've dried up. We're still looking for a physical return. But friends, look, under the opening of the Word, we can look and see that it identifies for us that, okay, these people that are running around saying, oh, look, Brother Branham, you know, we don't go to church and symbol like that anymore. Well, we can see right through that and say, well, you know what? That ain't what the message says. You know, you can reach over here and jerk something out of this quote and something over here and that, and you can twist it around and say, you know, this is what we believe he was saying. They twist around where Brother Abraham says, I'll no longer call you church, I'll call you bride. And they twist that around with some other things and make it to where we don't go to church anymore. We're not the church. We're bride. Find me where Brother Branham actually said it the way they try to put it out there. It didn't. Brother Branham actually did say, look, Brother Branham backed up what Paul said, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together, even so much more as you see the day approaching. It identifies these things. Jesus warned before he left, and he would say, take heed. After I'm gone, he says, there's going to be many come in my name and try to deceive many. And Jesus actually says, don't go after them. Paul says in Acts, Paul used the same thing and said, taking heed. Therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. Who was Paul talking to? Paul was talking to the pastors that God was going to place with the people. And he was saying, take heed, he said, to yourself. Because God's made you an overseer. And as an overseer, friends, look, I don't really want to get, that could be another message in itself. But God, friends, it's the responsibility of the pastor to watch, oversee, and warn when he sees the enemy. But here, Paul goes on, he says, because after my departing, grievous wolves will enter in among you, not sparing the flock. And also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after themselves. And then we go back to what Jesus said. Don't go after them. Don't run after them. How many times have you seen people run after this doctrine, run after this doctrine, and run after what this man's got to say, and run after what that man's got to say. You know, and then, you know, people, you know, then they would call it, well, if you, you know, well, you're going to be with it, you need to get over here. Grievous wolves. And there's people that there are, Jesus said there's going to be many that are going to be deceived. So why weren't you and I deceived? Because the Bible said it would be so close that it would deceive the very elect if possible. So why weren't you deceived? Why wasn't I deceived? Because we were elect to see the truth and to stand with the truth. And friends, look, when Paul said about these, he said these false brethren have creeped in and they're trying to bring in another gospel and all this. He says, I don't give a space to them. He says, not even for a moment. That's what I go to when I make the statement, friends, these people who have left the message, and they've, you know, and look, if you saw things, I'm not trying to make you feel bad or condemn you in any way, but I'm telling you how I feel about it from what my conviction is of what I read in the scripture. I don't care to watch it. I don't care to hear it. We, on Thursdays, we don't go down and check our mail until we're leaving to go to church. And when we leave to go to church, we drive on down, you know, because it's a little distance down there. So we just drive, swing by the mailbox and pick up our mail on Thursday before coming to church. And so we picked up the mail today, and my wife said, you know, there's something here. It may be fake or something, but it looked like it was roaches. I don't know. So she opened it up, and it was a letter. And in the letter, there was also a flyer included. And so I said, well, you know, she was reading what the letter said and things, and I'll tell you that in a minute, but I kept saying, well, what's on the flyer? What group is this? It's got to be some kind of religious group, you know. What does it say on there? What church? And so she's trying to read through it, and she's flipping it over and all, you know, and finally we find out it was Jehovah's Witness. And they got some kind of big thing they got going on down there in Alabama coming up here in the middle of the month, and they're going to be showing the prophecies pointing to the coming of Jesus Christ, his birth and everything, and did all those prophecies come to pass and all this. But the thing that got me was they said, we tried to bring this to the this is what the letter said. We tried to bring this to you directly, but you got a big dog. And your dog's big and we ain't. I got a Great Dane, for those of you who don't know. And said, your dog is big and we're not. So we've mailed this to you. We weren't going to get out. And I said, well, my dog's doing his job. You know, if they only knowed he was more like Scooby-Doo than anything. He's a big coward. But, you know, they saw the size of him and his barking at, and I guess they decided not to get out. So we never got a knock on our door, you know. And I got to tell you, look, friends, if you like talking to them, that's up to you. I don't. I really don't care to, you know. They're there to try to propagate something they're believing or sell you some kind of a something and hand out their tracts and all that, and I'm just not interested. I know some people like to kind of debate things with them and all this. I don't. I really don't really like to debate with nobody. I'll tell you, the very last time I ever talked to a couple of them, they started to tell me, you know, their thing, and before they get it out, I said, hold on, just stop just a minute. I said, I want to ask you a question before you get started. And I said, yeah, we were standing, I didn't even invite them in. And they were standing there at the door, and I said, what you're wanting to present to me and tell me, I want to know how much do you believe it? I said, do you believe it so much so that you don't believe there's anything I could show you in the Bible and point out to you that's actually going to deter you from what you believe? And they said, no, sir. They are proud of it. That was exactly what I wanted to hear. And I said, well, that's how I feel about what I believe. You've got nothing to say that's going to change me from what I believe. Now, if I don't care to hear what they really got to say, why would I care to hear about these people, these men and preachers that have left the message, and they want to tell you all their things of why the message is wrong and why Brother Branham's wrong and all this? Why would I care to listen to them? It's not that I'm afraid they might have a point. They ain't got no point. It's because I don't want them to waste my time. I know in whom I have believed, and I am fully persuaded. I believe in Jesus Christ. And I believe that God sent this end time prophet in this message and sent it to give us the truth that it is the message of the hour. And I don't have to go out and search some kind of historical records and check out stories and that and say, whoa, well, I can't find nothing to prove this, what he said. If you search deep enough, eventually you will find something. It might not be some newsletter documentation type thing, but look, the whole thing they had about the bridge not happening, that Brother Branham saw in that vision and all that, there's people that have spoke that witnessed it and said it did happen. So I don't care if the newspaper didn't report it. There's reasons that could have happened. There's one man down in Jeffersonville, wasn't even a message believer, friends, but his family was friends with Brother Branham. He said, look, all these unions and different things and all these different things and companies, he says, it's no wonder it wasn't publicated. You know, how much stuff goes on out there now they don't want you knowing about? And how much stuff do they say that they're saying that they done it happened that you look and say, no, you know, no, it didn't. like getting up and making a statement. I've been trying to secure the border over the last 4 years. That's a lie. I don't know who's dumb enough to believe that. I'm not trying to get political on you. I'm just saying, you know, it's just some of this stuff is, you know, I don't depend on the media, friends. I don't depend on whether something gets reported in the news or not. Because a lot of times they shape that and give you what they want and leave out what they want to try to persuade people a certain way depending on what the issue is. But there's been something happened in my life. There's been a supernatural something that's happened in my life. I've been changed. Something changed me. Because I'm going to tell you something. The way you see me now, that was not the way I was. Yeah, I pretty much, you know, I can remember as a kid being in the denominations, but we came into this message, I was still pretty young. So, I was young enough that I didn't really know a lot of those denominational teachings when we came in. I was so young. But, so I can say pretty much I was raised in this message, under this end time truth. But I'm going to tell you this, friends, that don't really mean anything. It's got to be revealed to you. Jesus Christ himself's got to be revealed to you. There's a lot of people that's been raised in this message that's walked away from it because they never got a revelation of it. They walked away because, friends, Brother Branham's no more than just just some other preacher. It's never revealed to them he was the end-time prophet for the age. I'll tell you this, when it turns out to be somebody from your own family, one of your own kids, you'll take a look at yourself and say, man, did I fail somehow? It's a revelation. They got to be elect to it. Mom and dad can't give it. A preacher can't give it. That revelation has to come from Jesus Christ. Amen. Just the way Paul said, I received this from Jesus Christ. I didn't get this from a man. If somebody's got something from a man, they can be shook from it. They can be moved from it. But if it's been revealed to you by Jesus Christ himself, the Spirit of God revealed this to you to be the end time truth, then it don't matter who says what after that. I don't care how great some of these men might have seemed like they had a position around this message and been so well thought of and everything else and that, you know. I'm like Paul. That means nothing to me. They thought they were of some reputation, Paul said. They added nothing to me. Because it was Jesus Christ that revealed it to me. Amen. And because it was Jesus Christ that revealed it to me, then none of these men can take it away from me. Amen. Nothing they say is going to move me from it. And if I really believe that, then friends, why would I want to waste my time? I want to take all the time I got to get ready to leave out of here. But I'm obligated as a pastor to point out these different things, just like Paul did, just like Brother Branham did, and call these false teachers, call these false teachings what they are. And I look at this day of people that claim to believe this message, and I see many of them, they've went off after another gospel, just like the way Paul was saying. Not something that was actually delivered to them by Brother Branham. And these false teachers draw them off that way, according to what Paul says, in God's eyes, they're accursed. So why would we want to give space, as Paul said, even for a moment? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's stand. Amen. Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight for your word, dear God. We thank you, Lord, and we ask God, we thank you so much, Lord, for how you've opened our eyes, how, Lord, dear God, you revealed the truth to us and keep revealing it to us, God, and keep us right in the middle of the road. Keep us right, Father, on the straight of the of this end time message, dear Lord, the truth, Lord, of it. Thank you, Lord. We have an assurance, Lord, we're getting out of here. Bless your people tonight, dear God. Many, Lord, have work tomorrow. I pray you'll go with them. Bless them. Help them on their jobs, Lord. Help them to be a witness, dear God, in their lives. Lord, let them know, Father, that it isn't that we got to run around and what words can we say and all that. Just live the life. Just live the life. If you open a door and someone asks a question and we say something, then fine. But what we really, our witness is our life. Hallelujah. We can give testimony whenever there's opportunity. Lord, but, you know, and if our life is backing up what we're testifying, Lord, that's the witness. Bless your people tonight.